Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Rosemary Steak from Columbus, Ohio, and you're listening to Tack Talk on Horses in the Morning, part of the Horse Radio Network for October 1st, episode 756. This episode is brought to you by Equus Now. Good morning, horse world.
We're going shopping.
I got it on sale.
Aw, baby, take it back.
It was such a bargain.
We got 12 of them already.
Open your checkbooks and tighten your earbuds because we're about to embark on another round of Tack Talk with Equus Now. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning. And as usual, first Tuesday of every month is Tack Talk, and we have Rose back. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning, Glenn. I am so happy to be back. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I'm so excited because it looks like you've put a fine show together. And I just have to ask you a question, though. Yesterday it came up on the show. We'll talk about what's coming up on today's show in a minute or two here. But yesterday it came up on the show that over the weekend I was at Walmart. And they have all the Halloween stuff out, of course, because that's been out for like a month now. But right beside it, they've started putting out the Christmas stuff already. So do you have your Christmas stuff out already and you're all ready to go in the store there for Christmas?
You know, no, we do
good,
put the Christmas stuff out, you know, significantly before Thanksgiving, but there is no Christmas stuff out in the month of October. That's just ridiculous.
God. Woo-hoo,
no.
Yay. Everybody shop at Equus Now.
You know, and I get it. Like, I get, like, trying to maximize, like, the season as much as possible, but that's ridiculous. I mean, October,
yeah.
And last weekend was still September. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah. Yes, and I was thinking it's 4 months until Christmas. And
oh.
Who bought, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, I'm one of those people that waits till the very last minute to buy gifts and to do anything, you know, involving the holidays.
Yeah.
But, you know, even the early bird, this is early to be buying gifts and, you know, decorations and all that stuff. It's really early.
You know, I love, you know, bargain shopping, you know, and I love getting things on sale. I'm a big, you know, sales shopper. But still, I mean, to put it out that early, it has to be at an insane price. But I think overall it takes away from, like, the whole, like, look and feel of autumn. And autumn is such a great time, you know, for merchandising and marketing. And to throw, you know, Christmas into that mix of merchandising, just I don't think it works at all.
Yeah, we're actually skipping two holidays, Halloween, which has become a holiday, Halloween
yeah.
and Thanksgiving, you know, which is one of, you know, one of Jamie and I's favorite, and Jennifer, too. That's one of our favorite holidays is Thanksgiving because there's no pressure. You know,
no.
Thanksgiving's the best holiday because it's family getting together without the pressure of gifts and all the crap.
You're right. I agree 100%.
Yeah. But we've skipped all of that and we're jumping right to Christmas.
And every year, doesn't it seem to happen earlier and earlier? Or is it just me?
Well, Bob, I think we got Jennifer in the mood yesterday because she was listening to Christmas music over there yesterday in her studio. So
that's pretty
funny. I think we got her in the mood yesterday.
You weren't supposed to tell anybody.
If I play Christmas music on this show before Thanksgiving, Jamie will quit that day. She'll just walk out. We're going to have to wait. All right, tell us what you do have planned for today. We have a couple of great guests coming up.
We do. We have Victoria Goss is joining the show. She's the founder of the Last Chance Corral, a fabulous horse rescue organization down in Athens, Ohio. We're very excited to have her on the show. We're going to talk about, you know, all the different sponsorship opportunities that Equus Now offers in general to organizations all over Ohio as well as, you know, the rest of the country. In addition to that, we have Jen Hetzler and Kathy Auger Newland coming on the show, and they are a dynamic duo saddle fitting team. Any questions you have, they're the ones to ask. The exciting thing about Jen and Kathy is that Jen focuses on fitting the rider. Kathy is an equine massage therapist. She focuses on the biomechanics of saddle fit in relationship to the horse's anatomy. So to have them both together working side by side is a very exciting thing for us, and we're excited to have them on the show.
And they'll be coming on at 10 o'clock Eastern time. So we're going to invite callers, which we don't always do, and we're going to do today. So we're going to invite callers to give us a call. If you have a saddle fit question, give us a call after 10 o'clock at 347-637-3238, 347-637-3238, and you can find that on our website at horsesinthemorning.com. And we will we'll take your questions about saddle fit. Now, this is English saddle fit, correct?
They specialize in English saddle fit, yes. Not that they couldn't help you with your Western saddle, but their focus on expertise is English.
All right, very good. And you have we'll be giving away a EquusNow travel mug for all the callers that call in to ask questions about saddle fit. So a little bonus for people calling in. And as I said, that will be after 10 o'clock Eastern time. So that is coming up. Now, you know, you mentioned sponsorships. When we had our store, and now currently with Horse Radio Network, we get hit up for it all the time, too. Sponsorships are one of the things that stores, especially like yours, where you're an online retailer and a local retailer, you get hit up two ways. One, online, and two, with all the local people coming in who are having local shows. And you want to, as a retailer and as a business, you want to help people. You want to help your customers and other people who are having shows and things like that, but you can't give to everybody. How many requests a week do you get, and how do you deal with it?
You know, it's a tricky situation because, you know, we've been around for 15 years, and we get hundreds of requests a week, you know, for product donations or horse show support, anything. And I have so much respect, you know, for the people that come to us, you know, looking for any type of donation, because it takes some initiative. It takes some, you know, a special person that really needs to go out and seek these things, because without sponsorship and without donations, you know, from companies, a lot of these organizations couldn't do what they do. So I have a lot of respect for the people that are actually looking, you know, for things from us. But, you know, what we decided to do as a company is we had a lot of requests from people that never purchased from us before or never heard of our company, but they came across us online, and we got just generic emails asking for donations. What we started to do as a company is we donate based on what the club spends at our store. So, for example, we sponsor the Ohio Dressage Society. So the members of that society get 5% back of everything they purchase at EquusNow in sponsorship dollars. And as a group together, it equals, you know, several thousands of dollars in sponsorship, and all they have to do is support us. It's definitely a win-win situation that, you know, groups buy from us, and we in turn take that percentage of what they buy and we donate it back to the group. And it's worked for us, you know, twofold. You know, it's brought us more business, and we've been able to give away more money in sponsorship. So I'd really, you know, like to help other stores develop this kind of program, because it definitely has been a success for us as a company and for the organizations.
Well, otherwise, you know, it does it gets out of hand real quick. I mean, you're giving away gift certificates here, you're giving away product there, and all of a sudden, you know, at the end of the year, you figure it out, and you've given away a lot more stuff than you thought you did.
Absolutely. It's absolutely true. You know,
it gets out of control, is what it's.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, we would give away stuff, and the actual groups wouldn't even know, like, where the donation came from. Like, there wasn't, like, a clear recognition of this company donating this prize, you know. And yeah, we get thank you notes from some, but for the most part, there would be no recognition for it. Well, with this program that we instituted, you know, each member of the organization understands that every time they make a purchase at our store, you know, it says right on their receipt, thank you for supporting this organization. You know, we've donated it back to your, you know, to your group.
Is that done through a member card system, or how do you track it all?
It's completely computerized. We have a program set up in our point of sale that quarterly does a report on all the purchases made for that organization. So once you come into the store and say, hey, I want to support New Vocations, I want to support Cantor, you know, I want to support the Last Chance Corral, you know, after you do that one time, every purchase you make will be, a percentage will be donated to that group.
Well, that's terrific. That's just such a good way to do it. And I know that you had told me that you gave away over $50,000 in sponsorship money last year, and you're on track to double that in 2013. So somebody has picked up on it.
Yeah, absolutely. The groups that have really taken it and run with it are amazing. You know, a bunch of IHSA teams have taken off with it this year, and Ohio State is one of them. You know, our own, you know, our local school, that, you know, huge Ohio State. And, you know, they've racked up several thousand dollars in sponsorship, you know, just within the year. And it's so easy to do. And the way to maximize on it is to spread the word. You know, tell people in your club, hey, you know, you shop at Equus now, you know, we're going to get money. You know, we can do more, you know. And all these groups are really finding out that all they have to do is spread the word. And it's that easy to maximize their sponsorship dollars. And, you know, we have this thing that, you know, each club, they can earn a maximum of $25,000 per year. You know, we set that amount thinking that
Wow.
No one will even go close to that. But I'll tell you, you know, in the past year, we have clubs that are, like really working to that goal. And it's so exciting to see it.
Wow. I was picturing a couple hundred here and there.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And, you know, some clubs, you know, you have some organizations that have, you know, several hundred members. And you take all those members' purchases and you combine them. It can really do great things.
Now, the is this an online thing, too? So have you gone kind of national with it, or is it just for the local store at this point?
You know, it can the sky is the limit with this program. It's truly based on the organization to promote it in any way they can. Let's use an example for New Vocations is a thoroughbred rehoming organization as well as a standardbred.
Yep. Yeah, they've been on our show many times.
Fantastic group, and they have a following that's nationwide. And what they do is they promote on their website and on their Facebook page, you know, next time you make a purchase at Equus Now, let them know you want to support New Vocations. So it doesn't matter if you're buying from us at the local store or if you're shopping online. If you say you want to support New Vocations, you know, we're going to give a percentage of every purchase you make back to that group.
Gotcha. How do, you know, I'm wondering, too, with, you know, you have an exception. Not all tack shops do what you do. So how does somebody stand out if they're going into their local tack shop? You get hundreds of requests, okay? But so we have a tack shop that does not have a program like yours, or tack business, or any kind of business for that matter. How does somebody stand out when they're contacting you as somebody that you want to support? You know, what makes them unique? What makes them stand out?
You know, I think that, you know, from a local store perspective, we have customers that we see all the time, and we know them. And when a customer that we know that is loyal to our store comes to us and asks us to help them out, we are going to be much more in tuned, you know, to doing anything we can to help them out. So what I would recommend for anyone looking for any donation, you know, from their local tack shop, is to support that store. You know, be a face in that store on a regular basis. You don't have to be the biggest spender by any means. Just be there, you know, and support them. You know, show up for their sales. You know their names. You know, when you're on a personal level with your local store, I'll tell you, I think the sky is the limit. I think that once you make that personal connection, that they want to help you, you know, as much as you want to help them. So it definitely would be a two-way street. And for someone to go into a business that they've never supported and asking for a donation, which happens all the time, that is something that is going to be much more difficult to get past. So I would definitely recommend, you know, supporting your local store and going to them when you need help. And, you know, they want to be – I can't imagine any good local tack shop that wouldn't want to support the local horse community. So, you know, there's some great local stores out there. You know, I can name, you know, Charlotte's in Texas is outstanding. Saddler's Row and Barrington out in Chicago, they're outstanding stores.
Yeah.
You know, go to them, talk to them, and, you know, you support them, they're going to support you. You know, I guarantee it.
Now, one of the things that we found frustrating, and you alluded to it earlier, is if you're doing that, if you're representing a local horse show or whatever is going on, and you go to the tack shop and you get some donations, or follow through with what you say you're going to do. If you say that the announcer is going to make sure that that organization is recognized during the show with five announcements, make sure those five announcements happen. If you say you're going to put a banner on your website for Equus Now or whatever tack shop, make sure you do it. The follow through is what will get you donations in the future. If you don't do it and you think, oh, well, they won't know, believe me, you know, we look at those things. When, you know, when the Horse Radio Network, when we support organizations or when we support horse shows, we double check to make sure all of that's followed through. Maybe some don't, but we double check all of that stuff because I want to make sure I'm getting my money's worth.
Absolutely. You know, when it comes down to it, you know, the cost of running business, you know, especially in the economy that we're in, it's tough. And you want to be able to maximize every dollar that you give away to see some sort of return. And you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, follow through. And in addition to that, you know, go to the place that gave you whatever they gave you and show them what you did. You know, show them pictures of the banner, you know, on the rail. You know, actually show them what you did to thank them in giving what they gave away, because it's going to make it so much more, the store is going to be so much more inclined to do it again year after year if they see some sort of recognition. So I can't say enough.
The smart ones, I've had this happen in the past, the really smart ones will do this, that. They'll take a picture of the banner, or they'll take a picture of the item that you gave for a silent auction. They'll take a picture of it on the table with, you know, your name on there, and they'll put it in the thank you that they send you.
Yes.
There is the other thing. If you send a thank you note, you're 100 times, and especially if you put a picture in it, you're 100 times more likely to get something in the future. You've made a friend out of that organization, and it's something that's, instead of just being a one-off, it's going to be something that could happen every year. If you don't do that and you come back next year, I'm going to be less likely to support you. And that's just human nature. That's not because I'm being mean or whatever. It's just human nature.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Thank you notes go a long way. We have a wall at our job, you know, at Equus Now, back in the offices, that's just devoted to thank you cards, you know, and we see them every day. And I tell you, just a handwritten note, you know, it goes a long way.
It really does. Now, you have, speaking of supporting organizations, you have one that you have been supporting and have helped out. And tell us a little bit about that, and we'll get our first guest on here.
You know, Victoria over at the Last Chance Corral, and she's down in Athens, Ohio, which is, you know, southern Ohio. She does an amazing job, you know, rehoming horses that literally are on their last chance. You know, horses that you know, can't find a home anyplace else. And what she does with the budget that she has is mind-boggling. You know, she has done so much good, you know, for so many horses. And I'm so excited to have her on the show and just to increase awareness of the Last Chance Corral, because she's top-notch, you know, when it comes to a woman, you know, with the integrity and the moral to really take what she does and for the greater good of the horse community. And we're so proud to have her as part of our lives, you know, here in Ohio. What we have done with Victoria, you know, over the years is we – we donate, you know, a lot of merchandise to Victoria. So Equus now, turns in a lot of merchandise that she can turn around and sell to make money. But what she has done every year is she has a class at one of our local horse show organizations, the Showtime Series at Delaware. And during this class, it's her biggest fundraiser. And this year, she set an all-time record, and we were able to get over $30,000 in donations to the last
year.
Yeah, as a result of this one horse show class. And she's going to talk a little bit about that on the show. And she's a great lady, and we're very excited to have her on.
Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
Was
hi,
all those
Victoria.
Things true? Did she lie about you at all, or was it all good?
Well, you know, I don't want to blow wind up my own skirt, but I think she is pretty accurate.
Victoria, I have not heard that term in a long time.
Well, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool New Englander, so I guess everything about me is kind of old.
Well, tell our listeners all about the Last Chance Corral.
Oh, boy. You want to hear the whole story, or like how it started in this?
Give us the Reader's Digest version.
All right. It was kind of this organic evolution. I was back on the East Coast and riding and training for other people, and I would always take in a behavioral horse or two, you know, horses that were misunderstood or had hurt people, and kind of get into the psychology of them and retraining them and finding them homes. And at the same time, I was getting really tired of that show scene, you know, wherever you're going to see competition and, you know, some sort of competition, whether it's a money or a trophy or whatever it is, you're going to see abuse follow that competition. And one day walking around after the show, everybody's gone, and I'm back there in the field where the trailers were, and I counted like 50 needles. You know, these animals in the A circuit are all getting pumped up. I was getting tired of that, and I found a starving horse. And I went through all the authorities, you know, the proper channels, to make sure that this horse got saved. And the authorities did little, if anything. And one day I couldn't take it any longer, and I was going to go steal that horse. So under the cover of darkness, I crept up, snuck into the barn, and the horse was dead.
Oh, my
goodness. It was too late. And right then and there, I made that dead horse a promise that I would never allow another horse to suffer if I could intercede. And that's how it started.
Man, that's some story.
And thousands, literally thousands of horses have come through my gates since. I don't own a personal horse any longer, and I certainly don't ride for hire. I feel like they were never mine to own. They're only mine to care for.
Yeah.
And especially the babies. One of our biggest programs here are the orphan foals out of Kentucky.
Now tell us about that. A lot of our listeners don't know about the orphan foals.
A lot of people don't know about this because it's not something positive. It's the seedy underbelly of the racing community. In this country, a horse cannot race unless it was conceived through live cover. Now, a horse's gestation, as we know, is 11 months. And on the 1st of January, every thoroughbred born during the year is a year older, whether they were born in January or September. If you want horses to be competitive as two-year-olds, you want them to be as old as they can be, right? So you're going to have your foals born as early in the year as possible. With that 11-month gestation, the broodmare, whose job it is to have a little thoroughbred every year, when she comes into her foal heat, she's off. She's going to get rebred at the stallion station, and the foal can't accompany her. And insurance wouldn't cover him for that. So he needs a wet nurse. There's an entire industry out there, you know, not huge, based on producing nurse mares. In order for that mare to have milk for the thoroughbred baby, she had to have had her own baby. So every year she delivers a baby, and the minute that baby's born, its job in life is over. It is considered a byproduct, and most of them are just killed. I purchase as many as I can, you know, anywhere from $100 to $200, depending on their color, because the fancy-colored hides are worth more.
So you have to buy them as opposed to these breeders just giving
them
to you.
And bringing them here, you know, the farm is all about triage. We call it the horsenage. And we'll have anywhere from a dozen to 30 orphans at any one time from January to July. Our goal every year is 200. In 2007, we actually did 207 orphans, which is just amazing. About a third of these are induced labors. So they're preemies. And we're round the clock. The full barn is built onto my little cabin. And round the clock doing IVs, feeding tubes, blood transfusions, oxygen. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and nobody wants to do it. I can only take in as many as I can find homes for. If they end up staying here for 2 months, you know, I don't have all the room on earth, so I have to turn away foals. So if anybody out there in the wide, wide world of horses would like to raise the best horse they've ever had, they should get in touch with me. As horse people, and we call ourselves horse people and horsemen and horsewomen, right? You've gone ahead and put the horse before the human. And they've given you your identity and your lifestyle. And I think we're all honor-bound to give back, to take in an animal, raise it, even if it's just to foster it until you can find the right home. We all need to do something good. And if this is the lifestyle you've chosen, do some good in that arena.
Yeah, Victoria, you mentioned you can only take as many nurse mare foals as you can adopt. Are there any stipulations to adopting these foals?
Oh, yeah, we're pretty strict. You can't be a first-timer. We never adopt horses out to first-timers anyway because the onus of responsibility is ours. And first-timers make mistakes that could cost a horse their lives.
Yeah,
so in order to adopt,
especially the ones, the yearlings and things that you're adopting out. That's
yearling.
Glad to hear you say that. Yeah,
a yearling would be considered an antique around here.
Yeah,
we're talking days old.
Ah, gotcha.
But
well, I'm glad to hear you say that because you know that's everybody's fantasy, and it always sounds better than it turns out to be if you're a first time horse owner. So
we call it the Walt Disney syndrome, and
yeah.
I'll raise it, and it will love me. But it's really a common sense and horse sense. But in order to adopt a baby, you have to have, you know, a working knowledge of equine nutrition and basic medicine. You have to already have horses, and you have to have a veterinarian and a farrier who will vouch for the kind of care your animals receive. And that's all. That's pretty simple.
Is there a mileage limit? Like, can you adopt? Say
sent horses, babies as far away as California, Florida, Maine, Canada. you know, the transportation is not, you're not going to hire a shipper. You have to transport them yourself, and you have to stop and feed them every couple hours. But they tend to spend the journey laying down, usually about the first curve, because you can't tie them, of course. So
right,
we bed about a foot and a half of hay. And, you know, getting them home is anywhere from a 4 to 6 hour journey. And I'm, you know, pedal to the metal, get these babies home and start hydrating them before they impact on us. It's pretty amazing that I'm very proud of our team that our mortality rate stands at under 2% right now. And I understand that OSU, with the same patients, has a 30% mortality.
Wow.
It's,
I'm looking at your homepage here at lastchancecorral.org, And I'm looking at the pictures of some of the very cute pink babies, yearlings you got here. These are really cute.
Yeah, those were an odd batch out of Kentucky, off of a nursemare farm, and they were all warm blood paints.
Really?
And they breed for color because the colored ones, you know, everybody wants that color. And a lot of the mares that they use are draft mares. Now, when these mares go to these farms, they have to come back rebred. It's part of the contract. And these guys will get anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000 to lease these mares out for 5 months. How amazing is that? And they come back. A lot of them have been bred by the thoroughbreds. And, you know, if it's a smaller horse, sometimes the teaser pony gets lucky. But so we have a lot of really nice cross babies. I mean, just amazing horses.
Yeah, if that was the case, they'd be athletic sport horses then, too.
And a lot of them are. They're all over the country, just gorgeous horses, very talented. One of our babies won as a yearling in Ohio for a competition for warm bloods. And he was up against all these European bred babies, and he won, our little throwaway.
Well, one of the gals that works at Equus now has one of your Last Chance babies. And she did her first horse show ever with GC, and she just loves this little guy to death. So they've definitely gone on to do great things.
It's amazing also. You know, I'll go to Equine Affair, and I'll have hundreds of people coming up to me that have, you know, some of our foals are in their 20s now. And they all universally say the same thing. I never had to train this horse. I never had to teach him anything. That you're their mother. And if you think about it, there's one person in your life who can absolutely drop you with a look. That'd be your mom.
And your mom.
She puts her hands on her hips and knits her brow, and you are begging for forgiveness. And these foals develop this language with you from when they're a couple days old, and it's like they can hear you think. If you go onto YouTube and look up Last Chance Corral Wander, you'll see a two-month-old baby, and everything he does he's doing and seeing for the first time, and he's going over teeter-totters and going in swimming, put on a saddle, and when I opened my arms to ask him to go out like he was going to lunge, he just did because he felt what I wanted. You have a connection that you've never had with a horse before.
That's really neat.
So, Victoria, for folks who are contemplating adopting something at that foal age group like that, and different adoption agencies and different rehoming agencies do it differently, which is why I ask, does the adopter get clear title? In other words, does it work like Mustangs where you have to keep them for a minimum of a year? How does that work for second chance?
They get clear title. That is their horse. However, there's always a caveat. we can come to their farm and inspect it anytime we like. And if we don't like what we see, we will take the foal away or the horse. And I don't mean, you know, I don't like the cut of your jib. I mean, if you get a report that somebody isn't caring for their horse adequately, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to let that happen. However, you know, most bad things that happen to animals do not come out of black-heartedness. It comes out of ignorance. And people need to be educated. And that's why we have a lot of programs involving children, because that's the future. You know, you can't change a grown-up, but you can plant those seeds in children's minds. But I guess I got off subject there a little bit. Back to the babies. What was the original question?
How adoption ownership process works.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But they do own that baby, and a lot of people that adopt babies from us have adopted them with the idea that they are going to rehome that baby. That I have people that every year take two or three babies. They love all that groundwork, and, you know, some of them can't ride any longer. So they do all the groundwork, and they've got these babies loading and leading and clipping and everything, and they find a local family or a 4-H'er to adopt it, and then they'll have those people fill out one of our forms as well. But they accept the full rights and responsibilities upon adoption.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Gotcha.
You know, Victoria, you mentioned that you've homed hundreds of horses and foals over the years. Is there any one particular, you know, horse that has made an impact on you more so than any others?
Oh, baby. It's not hundreds, it's thousands at this point, and there are so many. You know, I'd say the one that had the most impact on my life was that buckskin that I didn't save, the one that starved to death.
Yeah.
But I've seen so many of them go from being unwanted to being amazing horses. Now, not all the horses we get are problematic. A lot of the horses we have right now are economic victims. People can't afford to keep their horses. And, you know, I actually had somebody say, I had to make a choice between feeding my horse or taking my kids to the dentist. A lot of people have lost their jobs. And so we're getting, you know, a lot of very nice animals in here that simply need new homes, that need a place to be, need a new career. And some of them are, you know, the nicer horses we ask a higher adoption fee for so that they can help the ones that we may put a couple thousand in to give away.
You know, I just adopted a Hackney pony a couple months ago. Listeners all know about my little Hackney pony.
No,
and
Glenn,
he
bought him.
Really,
you didn't adopt him.
Yeah.
You bought him.
Yeah, I bought him. I bought him because, and you know, it was funny because she was in that same situation. It was, you know, she couldn't afford to feed the horses. She was trying to feed her kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately, I think now she's selling all the horses, and, you know, that situation's going to get better.
It's wonderful when people recognize that. You know, the people that can't recognize it and end up letting their animals
starve. Yeah, but I'm not
sure
that, but you know this as well as I do. In this case, I'm not sure she recognized that the Humane Society had just been there. So, you know, she was forced to recognize it. And sometimes it takes that. You know, somebody obviously called the Humane Society.
Right.
And sometimes it takes that for people to realize that, in her case, she was a collector who had gotten out of hand. And, you know, again, she couldn't afford to feed her family. She really needed to set her priorities straight. So,
absolutely, and everybody out there in the world is responsible to take action when they see things like this. There's no shame in making those phone calls, people.
Don't sit back. Absolutely.
In our foal barn, there's one thing on the wall, and it's a framed quote from Martin Luther King. And it says, never, never be afraid to do what's right, especially if the well-being of a person or animal is at stake. Society's punishments are small compared to the wounds we inflict on our soul when we look the other way.
Sure.
I like that.
Yeah,
me too. If not for concerned citizens, a lot of the horses that we're able to save, we wouldn't be able to save. Well, I also wanted to point out about my adoption that all of our animals are guaranteed 100%. If it's not the right combination of horse and rider, we don't just want them back. We demand them back. You know, we want to find...
Okay, so you're not guaranteeing that they're going to... You're not guaranteeing they're going to be an advanced level of enter at some point. You're
oh, well, the babies are kind of different. You can't guarantee a baby. I'm talking about the grown horses.
Okay.
You know, there's a lid for every pot. Sometimes you've got to look a little deeper in the cabinet. But, you know, the grown horses... It's true.
You haven't been to my kitchen. I can't find half the lid.
I know. A lot of times we have to really dig deep to find the right combination for a horse. But if you're not going to guarantee them, you shouldn't be, you know, placing horses or selling horses.
Well, now,
hey, Victoria, I wanted to mention that you have a big thing on your website right now that you're a finalist in a contest. Can you tell us about that?
Well, people can vote for their organization that they think is doing the best job. The information is on our Facebook page. And the winner will get a commercial about their organization during the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Talk about exposure. You know, maybe I could find homes.
That's only worth about, what, $3 million?
Yeah. Think of it. Think of I'm instead of placing 150 foals, maybe we could reach so many horse people that I could place a couple thousand foals.
That would be
a dream come true, especially for those poor foals.
Yeah.
So look on our Facebook page and get the information. Everybody can vote once a day. Everybody tell their friends. Let's see if we can't save all these nurse mare foals. See, I turn away many, many more than I can accept just because I'm just a human being. And these babies take 24-hour-a-day care. When they leave here, they're stable and they don't need that. But, yeah, we need a lot more homes to come out of the woodwork.
Well, hopefully, by having you on the show.
Who's sponsoring the contest?
You know what? I can't remember.
Okay.
I think it's Intuit. Intuit for Small Business.
Yes, that's it.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
All right. So
sorry.
The accounting company.
Yes. And they're big. They do a lot. They do point of sale systems. They do a ton of stuff.
I'm busy trying to monitor my language here.
<You're>
I don't
want
to talk like a sailor on the radio.
Yep, I just voted.
Excellent. And do that every day and have everybody vote. And gosh, wouldn't that be cool? It's hard to get out to the world, and a lot of people that have farms and have horses, well, they're so gosh darn busy taking care of their animals that they're not out there seeing all this information. And it's hard for me to find them and find homes for all these babies. So hopefully we're going to win this contest and be able to do a lot more good. Spread the word.
Well, I just voted. You can find it at Last Chance Corral. Just search for that on Facebook. And, of course, you can find the website at lastchancecorral.org. Thank you so much for joining us today, Victoria. We really appreciate it. And thank you for all the work you do for the horses.
I want to thank you guys for bringing me on. Everything we can do to spread the word, I appreciate it more than you know. And, of course, I can't ever stop appreciating Equus Now. Without their assistance, there'd be a lot more horses that didn't have that last chance.
Well, I'm going to give this to both of you right here. That's our cheering.
That's great.
Thank you, Victoria.
All right. We'll see you. Hey, you know what we say on the farm? A little bit of Zen humor here for you. If I don't see you in the future, I'll catch you in the pasture. See ya.
See ya. And she's out.
She had more analogies than anybody I've ever had on the show before. I loved her analogies. There were ones I've never heard before.
You can just envision Victoria sitting around a campfire and just telling stories because she's got one after the other.
There was like the lid for every pot. I've never heard that one.
That's a good one. We can use that in a lot of different scenarios too.
Yeah, a lot of them were probably stuff that's been said. You know, our parents or our grandparents said it, and Victoria's just held on to that. She's a keeper of history here.
Yes. She's a great lady, and she's devoted her life, to this cause. And,
when you're adopting those babies, I mean, you're nursing them, you're feeding them every 2 hours.
Yeah.
She gets no sleep. I don't know how she does it, because she has a lot of them.
She has, like she said, up to 30 at a time, and they are literally right outside her bedroom door. And she's out there, every couple of hours herself, like keeping these babies going. Yeah. And, the cost of the formula alone is astronomical. And so one of the big things that she uses with her donation money is just formula. So any help, that she can get is so appreciated.
Well, so we appreciate her taking time out and to come on the show. I'm glad there's people like her out there in the world. We're going to take a break for our song for the day. And then when we come back, we're going to talk blankets. It's coming up to blanket season. We're going to find out, what what's going on with blankets. We'll talk a little bit about which blanket you might need for your horse, and maybe I'll try and find out from Rose what's new coming out this year. And then later on in the show, we're talking saddle fit. So after 10 o'clock, we're talking saddle fit. You can give us a call, 347-637-3238 at that time, if you have any questions on English saddle fit. And because of that, I thought it'd be great to do a Dan Roberts song today called Everybody's Hocked a Saddle. So I thought it was just appropriate for today. And we'll be right back after that.
Everybody's hocked a saddle. Most hands have sold a favorite pair of spurs. It's part and parcel of a cowboy's life. It's just to test your nerve. You're too broke to pay attention when you're riding through a rough string of luck. But I still love my life. Wouldn't trade it for $1 million. Cause I got an old hat that fits me just fine. A pair of chinks that are worn out but custom made. I get to see the horses shed in early spring and go to a jackpot roping if I get paid. I've chased lions up on Big Bug Mountain and shot some horses down on the track. I've smelled hay that'll take your breath away and hitchhiked from here to who knows where and back. Why, I've even entered a couple of indoor rodeos, slept under a teepee made from a wagon fly. Me and an old bronc swam the Willamette River one time, and he was gentle when we come out the other side. I set chokers on a high lead logging crew way up on the Oregon coastal range. I even bought one brand spanking new pickup truck, then had to survive for days on ashtray change. Everybody's hocked a saddle. Most hands have sold a favorite pair of spurs. It's part and parcel of a cowboy's life. Just to test your nerve, you're too broke to pay attention when you're riding through a rough string of luck. But I still love my life. Wouldn't trade it for $1 million. But there is one thing that really sticks in my craw. I sold my first and only bronc saddle like a fool. It went from priceless to a couple $100 because I needed to buy me some horseshoeing tools. But you know, I just did what I had to do at the time. I sold something I had to buy something I was needing, and truth is, I was happy to have the money. It's whatever it took to keep my old pocketbook from bleeding. But $200, what was I thinking? That's less than commission. I'm here to tell you, whoever's got that saddle could name their price if that boy of mine could wear just a little basket stamp off that old association. Everybody's hocked a saddle. Most hands have sold a favorite pair of spurs. It's part and parcel of a cowboy's life. Just to test your nerve, you're too broke to pay attention when you're riding through a rough string of luck. But I still love my life. Wouldn't trade it for $1 million. Oh, how I love my life. Wouldn't trade it for $1 million.
Well, that was Everybody Talk to Saddle by Dan Roberts. You can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. And Dan Roberts used to write for Garth Brooks. He wrote a lot of songs for Garth Brooks, as a matter of fact. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. It's Tech Talk with Equus Now, our once-a-month version of our chance to talk tech. And I have Rose with me of Equus Now. Of course, Jennifer is in the producer chair. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about blankets now. You know, we always looked forward sort of to blanket season coming when we owned our store. And the reason we sort of looked forward to it is, one, it was always a time you could make sales, obviously, and for a retailer, that's a good thing. But you also had to deal with incoming blankets by the truckload, and you had to store them and stack them and stock them, and it was kind of a nightmare that way. But blanket season, and there's so many choices now compared to what there used to be. So let's talk about the different things involving blankets and, you know, the different points you have to consider when you're shopping for blankets, Rose.
You know, it is. It's overwhelming, you know, for anyone looking to buy a blanket because there's so many different options. But really, you could take, you know, the features of a blanket and narrow it down based on exactly what you're looking for. Important things to consider is, how hard is your horse on his blanket? You know, is your horse turned out in a herd with a group of horses that like to play? You know, well, if that's the case, you need to find the strongest outer shell possible, as opposed to a horse.
Okay, stop right there.
You know,
how come we never found a horse that was easy on their blankets? Is there one of those really out there, or is this something we're just making up in our minds?
You know, believe it or not, there are. I have customers that have horses that from year to year, you know, they're just extremely easy. And usually it's the horse that's out all by himself, the horse that is not turned out on a regular basis, or, you know, the horse that is just so old that he's just really not doing much except standing there. You know, then that would be an easy horse on his blanket.
Right. Apparently we never had one of those.
You know, this is funny. There was this horse that I knew in New Jersey. He had to be like 40 years old, and he could barely walk, but he had a great attitude, and he was so happy to be alive, and he had a great appetite, so, you know, they kept him going. And I remember that, you know, we would let the pasture gate open. We would turn, bring in, you know, all the horses that had to come in. There was like maybe 30 horses on the property. And then this old man, Clyde, would finally make it on his own back to the barn, you know, an hour later. It was something that he just did every day, that he walked in and out to the pasture all by himself. Took an hour to get each way. But, you know, he was happy and he got there. That's a horse that's easy on his blankets. You know, no one's going to bother him. He's not going to bother anybody. So a horse like Clyde can really get the weakest blanket possible.
All right, so denier count. Let's talk about that.
Denier count is the same as thread count when buying sheets for your own bed. You know, the higher the thread count, typically, the better the sheet. And blankets have denier counts, which that really is the same thing. So you want to look for the highest denier count possible if your horse is tough on his blankets. I would not recommend considering anything below a 1,200 denier blanket for horses that are turned out in groups, because it's just they're not designed, you know, to handle
What's
it.
What's the highest now?
Well, there are deniers that go up, you know, to 2,000 and above. But there's something else, just to add more confusion. There's ballistic shells. And ballistic shells are not rated in denier count because it's a different fabric process. But a ballistic shell is similar to the material on, like, Samsonite luggage, also similar to the original bulletproof vests. You know, that was a ballistic outer shell. And it's not graded in a thread count. However, a ballistic shell is going to outclass any denier count out there because of the way it's constructed. So if you can find a ballistic shell, that is really the word you want to look for.
And does the denier count, the higher denier count or into the ballistics, equivalent to higher cost?
Typically, yes. You really get, you know, with blankets, and this is true, and I can't tell you enough, you get what you pay for. You know, if you want to invest in a blanket and have that blanket from year to year, spend the money. You know, the most expensive blanket that we carry is the Rambo line. And dollar for dollar, you are going to get the best value for your money, you know, with a Rambo. I personally have had Rambos in my barn for 12 years, and every time I wash them, they look fantastic, you know, and the quality is unsurpassed. You don't want to put, you know, for example, you know, they're $300 blankets. You know, that's what Rambos go for, and they're worth it. However, if you don't have $300 to spend on a blanket, we have a comparable line cold Shires. And we've tried every blanket manufacturer out there, and we have not found anything as good as the Shires blanket for the price. You know, they have the ballistic outer shells. You know, they have the fit that does not rub the horse. They have the extra deep shoulder gussets. And the Shires Storm Cheetah line has that ballistic outer shell at a price point that can't be beat. So that is a great secondary choice. If you can't go for the Rambo, which would be our first pick, go for the Shires. They're outstanding blankets for the money.
So if you get a blanket, or it's a sheet until you add fill, right? So both of these, whether it's a sheet or a blanket, have the same, the denier situation is the same. But then we start adding fill is what makes it a blanket, and there's different levels of fill then.
There are, and you base, you know, your need for the different levels of fill based on your horse's conditions. You know, if you're going to be body clipping your horse, you know, which is something that a lot of people do when they're riding all winter long, so they don't have to deal with, you know, the heavy hair and the sweat that, you know, that gets in the hair, you body clip. And when you do that, you really have to think about that you're taking away the horse's natural ability to handle the cold. So you're going to need a heavier fill blanket to make up for that. Now, if you do not body clip, but you want to keep your horse dry and comfortable all winter long, depending on the climate, you might just be able to get away with a waterproof sheet, which is really going to keep them dry, which is really the most important thing. However, if you're in a climate, you know, like, you know, Michigan, or, you know, in temperatures that get, you know, significantly below freezing, and your horse is Ohio. Yeah, interesting. Out here, it's somewhat mild, you know, compared to a lot of temperatures. But in Columbus, Ohio, for unclipped horses, we use medium weight blankets. The temperatures never get, you know, out, you know, ridiculously cold. So if your horse still has his natural hair, a 220 gram fill is perfectly sufficient in a climate like Ohio. When it gets to
now,
what
do they get? What's the lowest to the highest? So the lowest is what, and then the highest?
Well, zero. You mean
right? Which would be a sheet? Yeah.
Right, right. A zero fill is nothing. There are blankets that we carry that have 100 grams of fill. And it's virtually nothing to have 100-gram fill. I think it makes the owner feel maybe a little bit better that the horse has some weight as opposed to just a sheet. Then you have 220, you know, between 200 and 250 is your medium weight. And then your heavy weights start at 300. And there's a lot of 400-gram weight blankets out there. I can't visualize a lot of people that would use a 400-gram blanket because they're extremely heavy. That would be for a body-clipped horse in absolutely frigid temperatures. But, you know, in
We used to sell them to people in Florida, and I kept going, what the heck are they buying a 400-weight blanket? We don't even use that in Pennsylvania.
No. And horses are so good at adapting to cold. You know, a lot of people, you know, say, well, you know, I've never blanketed my horses. Well, you know, blanketing, it's an interesting thing. You know, it's easier for the horse's owner to blanket their horses because it keeps them cleaner. If you clip them, you know, it's easier on us when we're riding all the time. That way, you know, we don't have to deal with cooling them out as long after we ride because they don't have the long hair that's going to trap the moisture. It's a nice thing. However, you have to be careful not to over-blanket your horse because horses don't need as much warmth as we do when we're in the barn. Like, you know, a lot of times, you know, you go in the barn and you feel cold. Well, you think your horse is going to need another layer. Well, that's not necessarily the case. You know, horses are adaptable the way that their bodies are designed, that they actually insulate themselves with the hair that they have. When you take off that hair, that's when you're going to need to increase your weights in blankets. And what we recommend at our store is to get layers. Your standby blankets should always be your waterproof sheets because they're invaluable this time of year in the spring. They're a great piece to have around. And then you have a medium weight blanket. So you have two integral pieces. And then if you really think your horse is going to need an extra layer, get a blanket liner. That way you don't just have a heavyweight blanket that you'd only use a couple times a year, but you'd actually have three pieces that can be interchanged so you're covered, you know, for any temperature.
Now, what do you do to keep blankets waterproof? And, you know, there's some people that believe you can wash blankets, and then there's other people that believe if you wash a waterproof blanket, it's not going to be waterproof anymore, and so on. So what do you say?
Well, it has to do with the way you wash it. You know, if you can't, you know, wash a blanket like you would your regular clothes, you never use a center agitator washing machine when washing a blanket. You can only use a front load style. That center agitator not only will affect the outer shell, but it's also going to do damage to the fill of the blanket. It's going to definitely, you know, cause clumping and that kind of thing. So never use a washing machine with a center agitator. Drying a blanket in a dryer will have a negative effect on the waterproofing. So you can wash your blanket, but hang it to dry. Never put it in a dryer. And wash your blanket only when you absolutely have to. You know, this is another reason why liners, you know, and waterproof sheets come in handy. You know, if you have a good waterproof sheet, you know, and you put it over, you know, your horse's blanket, you're not going to be washing that blanket as much because it's not going to be getting as dirty. So, you know, don't wash your horse's blanket every week. Otherwise, the blanket will not maintain its waterproofness. You know, wash it when you have to. You know, I'd say once or twice in a season is perfect to prolong the life of that blanket. Blankets get dirty, you know, and it's something that you need to be proactive about spot cleaning, you know, and brushing them off on a regular basis. Don't let them get caked in mud and just put back on the horse every time. You know, like actively spot clean them, and it's going to keep you from having to put them in the washing machine as often.
And what do you have in waterproof sheets for a 57-inch Hackney pony?
We have a Shires actually in stock that you
would
love.
Oh, good, because I'm going to need one.
I think it's purple.
Well, that's perfect. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
His name's Peter.
I'm waiting 5 minutes and you're buying stuff, Glenn? Come on. I want 5 minutes.
You know, we can monogram it. We can monogram the Horses in the Morning logo on your pony sheet.
Oh, how cool would that be?
Yeah.
You know, his name is Scooter after the Muppets character, so maybe we can have Scooter's picture put on it. That would be good.
I love it. We can do it.
Is it Scooter
no problem.
Red?
We got you covered.
Or yellow, I forget. That's funny.
Was Scooter the one with the clipboard?
Yes, he was the one.
He was
the backstage manager. Yeah. That's correct. And Scooter's personality really does match him. He's orange. You're right. He is orange. Tell us, now you actually have a sale going on right now on blankets, right?
We do. It ends in a few days. Our blanket sale, we run every year from, you know, September 15th to the first Friday of October. So as of Friday, the sale is over. But up until Friday, all of our winter blankets are on sale. So log into equusnow.com and click on winter blankets. And Shires are 20% off. You know, every blanket that we carry is on sale. So definitely check it out. And there is free shipping in the continental U.S. on any blanket over $100. So there's no shipping. And definitely look at the Shires line. We love this blanket. There's really nothing out there for the price that comes close to it. And we did our own photography this year on our blankets. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, we did. And while we were out there, we were just we were loving on these things. They're just amazing for the price. And, you know, like I said, Rambo is top of the line. But if you don't have the money to put into a Rambo, look at the Shires blankets. They are really that good.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at the one right now that's going to fit my pony because it's on sale. So I need to do it now. And we're talking $115. I mean, for 1,200 denier, so that's
for
not
1,200
bad at
denier, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and look at, you know, there's a line, the Shire Storm Cheetah. The Storm Cheetahs are that ballistic shell, And, you know, if you have horses that are tough on playing against mana, there's nothing like the ballistic shell. They really do hold up over years of use.
I think I better probably look at that because my pony, I'm imagining, is going to be tough on everything. So he's little, but he's mighty. The mighty scooter. Equus Now, look for the sale goes on through Friday, October the 4th. So you only have a couple of days to get your new blankets, go out and look at all the holes in the old ones and go, I can't fix those anymore, and just go in and do that. And by the way, Equus Now is terrific, and I have had this experience in the past. If you have questions, because blankets can be confusing, if you have questions, just give them a call and they'll help you out. So it doesn't matter whether you're a local customer or live in Florida. So just give them a call. That's what I'm going to be doing. So do that today. Well, next we're going to switch from blankets to saddles, aren't we? And saddle fitting.
We are. We're excited. We started this new thing at Equus Now where we have a dynamic duo team of saddle fitters. And Jen Hetzler.
Batman and Robin of saddle fitting.
They are. I'm not sure who is who. I would probably say that maybe Kathy's Batman. But Kathy and Jen, they go out to barns, you know, all over Ohio, and together, you know, they analyze your current saddle situation. They're not out there to sell you a saddle. They're out there to help the saddle that you have work best for your horse. So they're definitely in a class by themselves, you know, when it comes to what they do. Jen Hetzler focuses on how the rider fits into the saddle. She's been trained, you know, over the years in the balance of the saddle, how the saddle panel design works in conjunction with the horse's back. And Kathy Auger is an equine massage therapist in Central Ohio. And Kathy's background is in the anatomy of the horse, and she uses the biomechanics of saddle fit in relationship to the horse's performance while under saddle. So the two of them together are an unstoppable force, and we're so lucky to have them as part of the Equus Now team. And even more exciting, we have them on the show. Welcome, Kathy and Jen.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Well,
I guess I must be Robin, so holy gee willikers, Batman.
I'm not wearing a cape. You can't make me, Rose. You can't.
Yeah, well, I saw you walking around with the hood with the ears sticking up, so.
Well, no. I'm not going to do that.
Actually, I can picture this now. Imagine how much business you would.
Well,
I can picture this now. Imagine how much business you would get, Rose, if those two really were outfitted with Batman and Robin outfits and they had the Equus Now logo on the chest and they were going out to do.
My marketing wheels are turning right now, and I'm just thinking about the new wardrobe.
I have to tell you, I think we're going to have to get a Batmobile and put the Equus Now logo on the front of it. You know,
I'm cool with that. Yeah, that's great. I'd like that. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they could have actually fit a saddle in the Batmobile? I don't think so.
Probably not.
I don't think we could fit many saddles in the Batmobile, to be completely honest.
Well, you guys, you know, I kind of laid the ground about what you guys do, and why don't you guys tell us what is one of the most common saddle fitting issues that you deal with when you're on the road?
Well, I guess I'll start. What we see a lot of is the saddles interfere with the horse. With saddle fitting, the main thing we want to do is we're riding the horse, but we seem to get in the horse's way. So what we do as saddle fitters is try to make the saddle so it doesn't get in the horse's way. So what we see a lot of are a saddle that might inhibit the horse's shoulder by being too low in the front, or bridging, which means just like a bridge you would see over a river, it fits in the front and in the back but doesn't fit in the middle. So you're getting some miscommunication to the horse, and it can be quite confusing as well as painful.
Yeah, I'm with Kathy on that one. Definitely, I think it's the placement of the saddle. If you're placing your saddle way too far up on the horse's withers, you know, you're impeding on the scapula, which scapula is, you know, is a sliding mechanism. So just imagine what it feels like to have that jammed down on your scapula, or it would be the same thing as if you had something sticking in your shoulder, you yourself, with like 100, say 150 pounds on it, you go to move, and eventually your shoulder's going to be sore. So that's one of the issues I find.
That's a good example right there, because I think a lot of people, they put their saddles, you know, like way before, you know, the weather, or right on top of the weather, and not thinking about, you know, the horse's shoulder movement or anything like that.
Well, and what's funny with that is, and it's really not that hard to get it in the right place, because if you will take your saddle and start it at the withers like you would, and then bring it back, it almost fits in a horse's back like a lock and key. It just clicks right in, and when you get that fit, and if you have a horse that's saddle that's slipping or going sideways or just in any sort of poor fitting, you know, where you are not comfortable, the horse is not comfortable either.
Right. What do you, when you guys
Before you go on, I did want to mention that we had said that if anybody wants to give us a call, they can call us at 347-637-3238. 347-637-3238 with any saddle fitting questions. You can give us a call right now. And the Batman and Robin will be happy to answer.
Batman.
No, I don't think, no.
Hey, Jen, you know, while you've been on the road doing this, do you have any particular stories that you'd like to share of someone that, you know, was having a fitting issue and you came out and you were able to kind of show someone something that they didn't know before?
Well, yeah, I got lots of them. But we did have, actually this happened about 2 years ago, we did have somebody who was all the way up in, I think they were up in Cleveland, and there was just no way I could get all the way up there to go and see them. And she was had such horrendous fitting problems, so she said, that she was willing to bring her horse down here. And she brought her horse. We went to a local farm, and I must have brought out about 5 or 6 saddles, and we tried them all, and it turned out that her horse really was not as hard to fit as she thought it was. There were two issues. The problem was that the placement of the saddle, just as we had explained before, putting the saddle up on the shoulder is going to impede the horse's movement. So basically what I did was that I moved the saddle back. And her other problem was that the flap wasn't fitting her. She was very long, hip to knee, and every saddle she tried was a long flap, not a forward flap, and this woman needed a forward flap. And so, you know, it took a good hour and a half working it out, but it worked, and she was thrilled to death, and she's been a great customer ever since then. And you know, that kind of stuff really makes me happy when I see that. And she said, hey, wow, I really learned something here today. And that was a good one. But there's tons of other ones too.
When you guys go out and do your fittings, a lot of times you can make the saddle work that the customer already has. How do you do that? What do you incorporate, and what products do you use to help with that?
Well, I have a saddle gauge that I use besides both of our trained eyes. But my favorite, I just love the Thinline brands. And if they've got this wonderful new pad that actually has shims in it. I used to hate shims. People would put a shim in and would cause a pressure on the horse's back. But what Thinline has done is made them thin enough that I can actually take a saddle that is bridging and fit it. I've done it to several, and we've just really opened up horses' backs, and really they're able to move through, and they're just much happier.
Excellent. And it's all as a result of this Thinline pad.
Yes. Oh, exactly. And I love it because I was fitting this pony, who is just an adorable little pony, ridden by small adults, but he had a little dip in his back. And it was the saddle fitting, you know, nightmare. And all of a sudden we found the shim pad, and I was able to shim the pad enough to make the saddle fit him. And now he's just he's just quite the star.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's
it's
great.
It is really great. It is great to see. And when all of a sudden they're, because sometimes they get so confused if we're giving them all these mixed signals. It can affect your riding as well as their temperament if the saddle does not fit right. Years ago, we actually saw a horse that was, they thought was neurologic because of a poor fitting saddle. Once we cleared that up, they were fabulous. So it can be just minimal, and then it can be major.
Well, Glenn, I think we have our first caller, right?
Yes, we do. We have Uta on the line. Good morning, Uta.
Good morning, everyone.
Do you
have
a question about saddle fit?
Yes. Actually, I can speak to that. Bad saddle fit can definitely make a mess out of a horse. When I first got my quarter horse, everybody thought he was kind of an outlaw because he bucked people off that were a little larger, and it had to do that the saddle didn't fit. And I could tell it didn't fit him because it would hurt me sitting on him. So I think that's a huge important thing to make sure your saddle fits. But my question actually was about how can you know that you are sitting in a saddle with the correct size, other than that, you know, your rear end fits in it.
It's a good question.
Sure. I'm assuming that the distribution of the weight has to do a little bit with the seat size, too.
Well, that's a great question, and I'm going to take this and I'll lay it on to you, Kath.
No, that's fine.
You know what? One of the things that Kathy and I do before we go out and actually do the field trips of saddle fitting is that I like to have people come into the store. We have two saddle bucks that are pretty anatomically correct, and we have people sit in them, and we put stirrups on the saddle, and so we can see where your weight's going to be distributed and balanced, and you know where the flap is going to be hit your knee, and you know then obviously we go out and fit you on the horse. I think we do have a lot of customers who come in who say that they want to buy a saddle for their child. And their child should be in a 15-inch, but they want to buy a 17-inch because they want the child to grow into it. Well, that is not a good idea because what that does is that not only does it throw you off as a rider balance-wise, it also is going to hurt the horse's back because your balance has been thrown off. Now, Uta, your question is you want to know what seat size that you would – how do you tell your seat size? Best thing to do is if you are a local customer, come in and sit in a few saddles. If you want to ride in a couple of different saddles, you should have, at least three fingers between your rear and the cantle, the top of the cantle of the saddle. And you're riding, I'm assuming, a close contact or is it a dressage saddle?
Close contact.
Close contact. Then you want to go, obviously you want to judge your length of your leg. Are you long hip, or are you long waist to knee or hip to knee? Are you short hip to knee? Are you long in the calf area, knee to the floor? That's going to make a difference in your flap. If the flap is too short for you or too not forward enough for you, being in a saddle with a flap that's not forward enough is going to actually push your seat back. So does that help? There are some issues, you know, there. So if you're local, I'd love to have you come sit in some saddles.
Yeah, well, I'm actually in Ohio. Never made it down there yet, but I'd really love to. But I'm correct then in saying that the seat size directly affects the size, the fitting of the saddle on the horse too?
It can.
Kathy, I'm going to let you answer that one.
It can. It just depends. There's so many different saddles out there, and that's what's really cool about how they're making saddles now. That used to be really, really tough to fit certain saddles to certain people. But now we can special order things for, I'm an older woman. When I ride, I want it. My hips are old, so I can't sit like I used to be able to. So we really like to put, you know, see how you sit in a saddle. We all have our little lamenesses and or weaknesses. So it can affect how you sit in the saddle, can affect your horse's back. That's why we like to do twofold, where you come in here and sit on the dummy, basically, and then we go out and fit the horse, the saddle to your horse, and watch you ride the horse, and watch how your biomechanics move around the horse, as well as the horse moving around the saddle.
Okay.
It's really kind of fun to do.
Yeah, I'll have to make
it
down there sometime.
Yeah, well, we'd love to see you.
All right.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thanks, Uta.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
When you guys go out on your appointments and make calls, how long is your average fitting session?
Oh boy, it can take up
with these
to...
two. It's probably 3 hours.
That's because there's wine involved.
Well, you know, you gotta account for the stopping off, the getting
lunch afterwards. Yeah,
then going out for a couple. You know, no, it could average anywhere from I'd say an hour and a half. I think the longest I've done with I did this without Kathy was about 3 hours, because we tried about six different saddles.
Yeah.
We also did a distance thing too. I mean, Kathy and I went down to Circleville. Remember that, Kathy?
Yeah, but that worked out so well.
That worked out perfect.
An hour and a half. I mean, it was like an hour and a half session though, because we got that little girl up on the saddle, and the saddle that they thought they wanted the minute she got on it on her horse and they started moving was wrong. I mean, it fit the horse, but it didn't fit the girl in movement, and that's the hardest thing. It's
right.
The movement part of it. And that's why we think that what we're doing here is so different, because, yes, we can fit your saddle to your horse and you to your saddle, but to fit the whole team together with the different products and the different saddle pads to make everything mesh, I think it's just wonderful. I don't know anyone else that's doing this.
Well, you guys are great, and I think that you know, we're really lucky to have you in Central Ohio, you know, doing what you do. You offer a great service, and just the two minds together, you know, working, you know, with a client is just fabulous.
Well, and luckily, what's really nice is Jen and I think a lot alike, but we don't mind disagreeing with each other, and that's
Sorry, Kathy, I mean,
No.
I've learned a lot from Kathy. I've learned a ton from Kathy, and I learn something every time that we go out. I learn something new from her, which is great. And
vice versa.
And Kathy, when you get old like me, you switch to a cart and give up the saddle altogether.
But you still wear the Fitz breeches.
But no tights. I'm not wearing tights.
Well, Jen and Kathy, we appreciate you,
you
being on the show this morning. It's equusnow.com, and you can find it, more information on there, and you can actually just give the store a call and get something set up with them. But we do appreciate you being on. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You.
Hey, we appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks so much. Okay.
All right.
Batman and Robin.
I think I started something there.
Man, you just, you know, Kathy, if you know Kathy, Kathy is, you know, over 6 feet tall. And just seeing her in a Batman outfit with a cape, I mean, that's it right there. No other marketing needed.
You know, Halloween is coming. Halloween is coming. And, you know, you could make the first Bat Van, you know, Batmobile Van, because you need room for the saddle. So paint it black, you know, put your logo on the front. Y'all.
They're an amazing team, though, those two. I mean, Kathy has been, you know, done doing the equine massage therapy for years in Central Ohio, and she has a huge following, and she definitely works with some of the top performance horse barns in the state. And when she came to us and she said, you know, Rose, you know, I'd really like to get together with you guys on saddle fitting because I have so much to offer, we were thrilled that we got her as part of our team.
Now, is that free? Is it for them to go out free, or is there a fee, or just a
it's
bottle
not
of wine?
Free.
Or
yeah,
what?
As Jen explained, it is a long session. You know, most saddle fitters, when they go out, they're there for, you know, 30 minutes, you know, 45 minutes tops, and they leave. Well, Jen and Kathy actually have you riding during their session. So they you have, you know, up to, you know, however long it takes, you know, for their time. So there is a fee involved, and, you know, they do follow-up visits and that kind of thing. So it's definitely worth the price of admission. You know, there's no doubt that they bring a lot to the table, you know, when it comes to helping your horses perform.
Very good. Well, tell us a little bit about, you also have a consignment shop over there in Ecclestown.
We do. The Equus Now Consignment Shop has taken on a life of its own in the past few years. And we've devoted about a quarter of our store, so over 5,000 square feet, to this consignment shop. And, you know, where it was just a local Columbus, Ohio thing has evolved to our consignments being available on the web all over the country. And if you log into equusnow.com and click on consignment shop, you'll see, you know, hundreds of gently used consignment items that you can buy for a fraction of the price of new. And we offer a new program where we invite you to ship us all of your gently used items, and we'll get them sold for you. And our sell-through rate, you know, is between like 30 to 60 days. So your items will sell quickly. You know, you'll get a check in the mail. It's a smooth, streamlined process, and it's an easy way to unload all that great stuff you have laying around that you never use.
You and almost you said can... crap, didn't you?
No, it's not crap. It's stuff.
Well, now, so you just go to Equus Now, and it's on the page there?
Yeah, go to Equus Now.
Yourself, and, I see it.
Yep, and we're going to offer a special promotion for Horses in the Morning listeners that you can buy any item in our consignment shop from today until Friday at 25% off. And all you have to do is log in to equusnow.com and put the items in your shopping cart. And when you check out, it's going to ask you for a coupon code. Type in the words, or the 25 off, so 25 off, and it's going to take 25% off any used item in your shopping cart. And it's good today until Friday.
Jennifer, go ahead and post that on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, too, in case you missed that or you're driving. So, well, that's terrific. We appreciate you doing that. And you know, just wanted to do a couple of housekeeping things here before the show's over already. And that is, tomorrow is the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. So be sure to give us a call tomorrow morning to play some trivia and have a chance of winning some terrific prizes. Also, you know, Jamie will be here, I think, both days this week. She'll be here Wednesday and Friday. So be sure to tune in then. We have lots of normal stuff planned for you and some terrific guests as well. You can visit equusnow.com to check out all the great items that we discussed on the show today, and be sure to use that coupon code for the consignment stuff that we just talked about. And, also what I also wanted to mention is that we have our app. It's been becoming very popular. So if you want to listen to all of our shows, all 10 shows now, you can just get the app in the iOS or Android App Store and just search for Horse Radio Network. You can find all of our past episodes at horsesinthemorning.com, and you can follow all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. And Rose, your links?
Yeah, our website is equusnow.com. Follow us on Facebook. We have a huge Facebook presence with lots of contests and games, and we always post our sale information on our Facebook page first. So our Facebook avenue is a great source to follow on a daily basis.
Very good. Well, Rose, thank you once again for being here this month. We really appreciate it. Rose is with us with Tack Talk by Equus Now, the first Tuesday of every month. So be sure to join us then. And if you missed the past episodes, just go back to horsesinthemorning.com and you can listen to them there. Until next month, we'll see you again, Rose.
Bye, Glenn. Thanks again.
By then, probably the Christmas music will be playing, and it won't be quite Halloween yet. Maybe that'll be over. Yeah, that'll be over. It'll be Thanksgiving.